Psalm 3, a psalm of David. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying to me, there is no help for you in God, Selah. But you, O Lord, are my shield around me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cry aloud to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy hill, Selah. I lie down and sleep. I wake again, for the Lord sustains me. I am not afraid of tens of thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Rise up, O Lord, deliver me, O my God. For you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Deliverance belongs to you, the Lord. May your blessings be on your people, Selah. And God always blesses the public reading of his inspired and his infallible word.
The title of my sermon is When God Lifts Your Head. Have you ever been disappointed? Don't put your hand up. Dealing with disappointment is never easy. Regardless of how strong and stable our faith in God is, disappointment, if left unchecked, unresolved, has an incredible capacity to consume and control every part of our lives. Because life doesn't happen the way we expect or envisage it to. And there is a particular pain and plight that we experience and endure when we discover deep disappointment in our lives. We had a plan and a prayer. We had hopes and dreams. We were fueled by enthusiasm and excitement for a new relationship. A new season at work would bring promotion and possibilities that now seem elusive and evasive. The very things that we don't want to happen, happen. And the things that we do want to happen just don't seem to be happening. Maybe it's a doctor's diagnosis that's depressing and discouraging. The offers and the opportunities for your career progression evaporate. The finance that you thought would last deteriorates and diminishes. Have you ever asked the question, why me? I have, many times in different seasons. And when we utter those words, we are saying, actually, what has happened, God? That is our disappointment being verbalized and vocal. What is disappointment? It's actually quite hard to define, but it's quite easy to identify. Disappointment is the delta between what you expected to happen and what actually happened. That delta does not have to be very big for disappointment to creep in. Just ask anyone who got a silver medal at the Olympics. Minute distances between success and failure, breakthrough and brokenness. Disappointment is a very powerful, very persistent human emotion, and left untreated or untouched can decimate and destroy our lives. It stretches beyond the borders of what has occurred in our heart and what has happened, and it actually includes what we thought or even expected or entitled God to do in our lives. And we slowly and subconsciously begin to question and query God. Thoughts like, God, I trusted you here. Jesus, I believed in you. Why? Why me? Disappointment has set in. And eventually disappointment gives birth to discouragement. After discouragement has its way, it morphs into despair and then disdain. And then despair and disdain give birth to bitterness. And once bitterness takes root in your heart, unbelief is the end goal. And this is the objective reality for every single person, regardless of whether we believe in Jesus Christ or not. Unbelief will guarantee that you abdicate your spiritual principles and values and you stop praying. You stop reading God's word, you stop praising, you stop worshiping him, and the erosion of your spiritual life is nearly complete and comprehensive at this point. And yet the tragedy in this tale is that if you track and trace it from source to outcome, at any point in the journey, you can stop. Amen? And I believe tonight that we can deal with the disappointment that exists in our lives. Disappointment is not the destination. It is not terminal. God still has you in the palm of his hand. Great is his faithfulness over your lives. We can overcome every obstacle if we permission God to have full access to our hearts, to cleanse us, to calm us, to challenge and confront us. And in those moments, we are strengthened and sustained. Then he is able to guide and guard us. Otherwise, our hearts get hard. Our language becomes harsh. Our actions become hurtful. And I believe with all of my heart that God wants to heal some people tonight. Amen? Some hearts that have been discouraged and disappointed. I believe that we will deal with disappointment tonight, and disappointment will be defeated in the name of Jesus Christ. You've heard Wayne read Psalm 3, just 8 verses long, capture David's heart as he's fleeing from his own son Absalom. The context and the conditions of this psalm are breathtakingly painful and problematic, because in the trauma and the testing, David encounters and experiences, because he's hiding from his own son. That's not your arch enemy. That's not the school bully. That's not your boss. That's not your political foe. That is beyond you having a tough or challenging week. David has had an excruciating and exhausting reality that his own son has rejected him and rebelled against him. The kingdom is teetering in total turmoil. Uncertainty has covered and claimed people's hearts and minds. People have turned on David himself. Friends have become foes. Friendships have become fragmented and fallen apart. And his position and power are under serious scrutiny. His reputation has been damaged and dented. His family have been broken and banished. And now you're on the run. You're in exile, if you like, for your very life. It is about as bleak and as barren as a picture that you or I could possibly paint. And yet, in verse 3, but you, O Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts up my head. Somebody say amen in the house of the Lord. Because the enormity of those words in verse 3 cannot be lost on us tonight. He's languishing, lingering in exile. His circumstances have produced confusion, confinement, and calamity. His head has dropped. Defeat is on the horizon of his life. And disappointment has already set in. You can read it in verses 1 and 2. And yet, miraculously, all is not lost. God and God alone is able and willing to lift your head. And I believe tonight, for some people who are experiencing disappointment, God wants to lift your head tonight above the disappointment, above the despair, and you will see victory and breakthrough in the name of Jesus Christ. Because your disappointment does not need to convert to your destination. It is never final unless you allow it to be. Sure. Like David, maybe your confidence has been dulled and dented by circumstances. You carry disappointment. Your current disappointment does not need to define you and dictate your future. It only has that permission if you allow it to. You may go through rejection and ridicule, abandonment, but it's not your final destination. Rejection does not define your worth. Failure is never final or fatal, as long as you get up and go again. Maybe you've lost something or someone tonight. Do not allow that to fuel and facilitate losing sight of God. He is still with you in the midst of your mess and your problems. And he promises never to leave, never to forsake. And here we read in Psalm 3, David, in the middle and the depths of his despair and his disappointment, he's discovered something that we all need to grasp tonight, that when life drags you low, God can lift you high. God can lift you high. We do not need to be shaped or defined by our circumstances or seasons. We do not need to allow what's currently going on in our life to steal and silence what God has planned and purposed for the next season of your life. The best is still yet to come. We need to shift our perspective and our heart posture. Focus on the way maker, not the problem. Focus on the goodness of God and not the crisis. Rise up with all the spiritual authority that God has given you. That's not triumphalistic talk. That's about setting ourselves up with all the biblical and kingdom principles and values that we can lean into in moments of disappointment. And so I want to present just three crucial kingdom principles to capture and claim tonight. Number one, whenever disappointments surrounds you, make God your shield. Psalm 3 verse 1, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Now notice what David is doing here. He's directing his attention to the Lord. His default and deliberate response and reaction here is to talk to God. We must do the same. And I think too often in our Christian walk, God is usually one of the last people that we like to speak to. We speak to our friends, we speak to our spouse, we speak to our cell leader, we speak to our pastor, we speak to anyone and everyone but God. And David is very clear here. He goes to one person and only one person. And he says, Oh Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising up against me. He's not slow, he's not shy in sharing his predicament and his problem. He communicates what he is actually facing and makes no attempts to dilute it in any way. He does not pretend that all is well with him. He's very direct, very decisive, and he tells God what is happening. No politeness, no pleasantries, straight into it with God. No attempts to maintain or manufacture some sort of sense of credibility or control for the situation. He knows he's in trouble. If you look at both the words here, word foes and many, this tells us there's a plural term here. There are thousands of people looking for him at this point. He is in a serious situation that requires God's intervention. Verse 2, many are saying to me, there is no hope, no help for you in God. Now he knows he's not just in a physical battle, he's in a spiritual battle too. Joyce Meyer said this, the greatest battlefield is in the mind. It's pretty succinct, I wouldn't argue with it. That is the reality for most believers. David realizes and remembers that the opposition and the oppression he's experiencing and enduring is not just external but internal. The tormenting thoughts, the people that lie to him with words like, hey, David, you're done for, you're defeated, nobody's going to help you, lies from the pit of hell. And some of us have been listening to those lies. Tonight, no more. Tonight, no more. In the name of Jesus Christ, we need to recognize you can be totally surrounded, but God is your shield. He is with you in the middle of your predicament. And this is what disappointment does to us. It speaks subtly, steadily, and slowly. It impacts and influences our lives, moment by moment, lie by lie, until it totally consumes and controls us. Ask yourself tonight, have you ever said or thought these words or anything akin to these words? God, you've forgotten me. It's never going to change. I'm not good enough. I'm never going to be free of this. What's the point? Do not convert disappointment to truth in your heart. Do not give the enemy access. Otherwise, you will start making decisions that are detrimental to you based on your perception of your temporary disappointment. And suddenly, every part of your life will be assessed and analyzed through the lens of your disappointment. God is no longer good. God is no longer your provider, your protector. This produces a distorted and a diminished reality for you, creating a spiral downwards. And I think it's important that we're honest and humble with God, just like David was. David does not stop there. Something starts to shift substantially in verse 3. The first word is very important in verse 3. But. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me, my glory and the one who lifts my head. The word but, there is the turning point. There is a transformation in his heart and in his mind with that very word. David is saying, hey, despite what I've just said to you, God, irrespective of what I see going on around me, I know that you are the answer. Yes, the challenge and the crisis has not changed for David yet. His son is still searching and seeking to destroy and kill him. People are still rising up in rebellion against him. The political landscape is still fraught with turmoil and tension. David is still in exile, excommunicated by a set of extraordinary circumstances. One thing has changed: David's focus. Instead of lingering and languishing in the real and the raw reality of his troubles and his tests, he looks to God. Nothing and no one else. And it is a singular but a seismic shift from struggle to solution. Because unfortunately, the seasons of our lives do not always shift in the manner or to the measure we want them to. But we can change our focus. We can fix our eyes. We can decide tonight who we will give our attention and our affection to. And David is very clear, very comprehensive in the next step. He leaves nothing open to ambiguity. He looks up, but you, O Lord, are with me, a shield around me. This is a statement birthed out of a deeply held truth and testimony of his relationship with God. He's not pretending, he's not performing. His words are carefully chosen and communicated. He doesn't say, Lord, you are a shield in front of me or next to me or behind me. No, David is telling us everything about God. He sustains and surrounds me. Protection and provision is available, and it is evident on all sides of David's life, before him, behind him, above him, beside him. Said differently, David knows that he is surrounded by his enemies and his foes. He doesn't deny or diminish that reality, but he does know that he is surrounded by God. And that is a word for some people in here tonight. You may be going through the valley of the shadow of death, but you are surrounded by God. He is here, he is present, he is with you, even if you don't sense it or see it. That doesn't mean that he's not present. Because regardless of the number of enemies or foes that you have, God is with you. That is the truth. You might be surrounded by pain, by criticism, by circumstances, by rejection, by fear, but he is with you right in the middle of the mess. He is still present. You are still precious and priceless to him. And the presence of the shield tells us that there is a battle. We cannot pretend that the pain is somehow not visible and not evident. David is still in turmoil. He's still in testing. He's still on the run. His enemies don't just disappear because God is present. But what it does mean is that your enemies and your disappointment don't have the final say in your life. They are not the ultimate authority over David's life, and therefore they're not the ultimate authority over your life. Their existence may be real, but what you need to do is deny disappointment a place of influence and impact in your life. Psalm 23, verse 4, we know it well. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And some of us in this place tonight, we need to exercise the spiritual authority that God has given us as children of God to break the power and the purpose of disappointment in our lives. It no longer needs to paralyze us. Confront it and conquer it in the name of Jesus Christ, and allow God to develop you and mature you in your seasons of tests and trials, because he wants to mold your heart and shape your character because disappointment never needs to become your identity unless you permission it to. Disappointment can suffocate and suppress our joy, our peace, and our destiny in God if we begin to believe the lies about the disappointment, which means we need to avoid trapping ourselves in disappointment. So if you didn't get the job that you applied for this week, do not convert that to, I am a failure. If a relationship breaks down, you do not convert that to, I am not loved or I am rejected. David has mastered this majestically. Despite his desperate dilemma, he knew who he was in Christ. His identity was rooted in Christ, and therefore it is imperative that when disappointment surrounds us, we do not define ourselves by the battle that we are facing, but by the God who surrounds us. That is more powerful and more purposeful in our hearts, and that will lead us to victory. And you may lose everything in your life, but you plus Jesus equals victory. It might not happen today or tomorrow, but I guarantee you that is your portion. Number two, when your head drops because of disappointment, let God lift it. Here is the epicenter of the sermon tonight. Verse 3, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I mean, it's a pretty relatable and realistic picture for our consideration right now. Human nature, when we are defeated or discouraged or disappointed, we have a propensity of allowing our heads to drop. You don't get the grade that you want at school. A relationship breaks down. The money's not in the bank for the rent. You argue with a colleague at work. You're struggling in your walk with God. It doesn't matter what the issue is. When we are defeated or disappointed or discouraged, there is a natural tendency in the human heart and mind to allow our heads to drop. We resist and reject looking up. We avoid eye contact. We want to hide. We want to retreat from public. But David is certain and convicted of something here tonight, that God and God alone will lift up his head. He is the one who can redeem and restore the posture and the position of somebody who has been brought low. This tells us tonight, KTLCC, that God has full control over our disappointment. He lifts what disappointment has lowered. And if you've ever felt disappointed, you will feel different. You act different, you behave differently, you pray differently, you may even become cynical and skeptical about your future. You start to anticipate defeat. You start to expect failure. You project hopelessness. I want to break and banish that in the name of Jesus Christ tonight here, in the name of our Lord and Savior. Why? Because it is not our portion as a child of God. Deal with disappointment, or disappointment will deal with you. And some of us need to dare to dream again. We need to dig into the promises of God for our lives. We need to rise up bold and brave with persistence and perseverance and know that in due season, God will lift our head above every disappointment, and then we will live in breakthrough and in victory in the name of Jesus Christ. We all know the phrase, once beaten, bitten, twice shy. When you get disappointed, you begin to acknowledge and accept the lies and the limitations of the enemy that whisper, don't get your hopes up again. That's going to happen again. What's the point? Why bother? Listen to me. Let God lift up your head. You've got to let him do it. He wants to move and minister in your heart tonight. Only God can do this. It doesn't mean that everything will be immaculately changed and transformed in a moment, but simply because he is still God. He is still sovereign. He is still Lord. He still rules. He still reigns over your life. And we've got to let God be God. There is no pastor. There is no leader. There is no spouse. There is no friend that can do this. Only God, so that he gets all the glory, honor, praise, and thanksgiving. Because when God lifts your head, a multitude of things begin to happen. Your confidence is restored. Disappointment destroys confidence. But when you have confidence in God, nothing and no one can destroy that. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4:13, we all know this very, very well. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Somebody say amen. But why does Paul say this? Well, the context and the clarity emerge in the preceding two verses, verses 11 and 12. Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well-fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. The focus here is not on human ability. It is in our strength in Christ, our confidence and our courage in Christ. Another quality it produces is that hope is reignited. Your past never has to hold your future hostage. God specializes in reigniting hope in the heart of believers. Disappointment can be broken tonight. We know the weeping prophet in Jeremiah declares in Lamentations 3, 22 to 24, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Jeremiah is saying, when he says the word therefore, he's saying, as a result of everything I've just said in verses 22 and 23, therefore, I will hope in him. Tomorrow holds limitless and lavish opportunities for each and every one of us for fresh hope. Every morning you get to see God's favor and God's faithfulness, and we can allow our hope to be reignited. As that hymn goes that we know well, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And number three on this section is that dignity is restored. Look at the start of the psalm again in verse 2. There is no hope for you in God. I mean, ouch. I don't know how David felt in that moment, but the finality and the ferociousness of that statement is very destructive, painful, problematic, if David accepted that as being true. You have no hope, nothing. And that's what his enemies were saying. They were attacking him, his character, his identity, dismissing and degrading him. What is David's response? It's immediate in verse 3. You, Lord, are my glory. Hallelujah. David is stating that his ultimate honor comes from God and God alone. David is unmoved and uninterested in the opinions and the perspectives of others. His statement is authoritative and affirming. He is confident and courageous in communicating who he is in Jesus Christ. No attempts to adjust his beliefs to fit the circumstances or find alternatives. No, he's bold and brave. And people can misunderstand you. People can be jealous of you. People can criticize you. People can disrespect you and even lie about you. But know this, because you are secure and steadfast in your identity in Jesus Christ, nothing and no one will move you. You can declare, you, Lord, are my glory. Nothing and no one else matters in that moment. Let God lift your head. You are not the grand total of everything that has happened to you in your life. You are not the aggregate or the sum of your deepest disappointments and your greatest accolades and achievements. You are who you are in Christ. The moment God lifts your head, things change. Sure, the battle remains. The betrayals are still present. The challenges still emerge. The enemies are still there. But David's perspective and posture has changed. And throughout Scripture, you see story after story of God having to change us before he changes our circumstances. But for so many of us as Christians, we want it the other way around. Oh God, just change my circumstances. Well, you'll never give him glory, honor, thanks, and praise if it's that way around. Number three, when disappointment disrupts your peace, we've got to learn to rest in his presence. Look at verse 4. I cry aloud to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy hill. I lie down and sleep. I wake again, for the Lord sustains me. I am not afraid of tens of thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Rise up, O Lord. Deliver me, O Lord, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Deliverance belongs to you. May your blessing be on your people. And as we start to move towards the second half of the psalm, you see a shift in David's attitude and approach here. Remember, his head has been lifted, but the challenges remain. David's answer, go to sleep. Not a bad approach. Wait, hang on a minute. Don't get too fleshly on me. That is not a logical or reasonable, in my mind at least, the answer when my enemies are surrounding me is not to go for a nap. But God has discovered something in God lifting his head. Peace is never the absence of problems, but it is the presence of God. And biblical peace is more than merely your mind racing away with unrestrained thoughts. It's accepting and appreciating that God is with you in the middle of your problems. Now, talking of sleeping, didn't Jesus, when he took his disciples out on the boat, didn't he go for a nap? And who invited them out onto the water? Jesus. Who knew the water better than anyone? The fishermen. It was their job. And Jesus slept in the stern, which is like the piece that's like of the ship or the boat that's like the most exposed to the elements. And what did the disciples say? Do you not care that we are drowning? And Jesus says, do you still have no faith? You've seen all these miracles. You've walked with me. I've taught and trained you. We cannot allow disappointment in our lives to disrupt our peace and disrupt our walk and our relationship with Jesus Christ. Because disappointment from previous seasons or wounds can be rehearsed and replayed in our mind. And then the questions begin. What if this happens again? What should I do? Why didn't this happen? Why didn't I stop this? Fear has gripped our heart and attempting to silence and suppress the promises of God over our lives. It has a nasty capacity of stealing our peace today in order to steal the promises of God tomorrow. So let me be clear here. When David goes to sleep, this is not him giving up. This is not him chucking in the towel, so to speak. He has surrendered. Giving up and surrendering are not the same things. Do not conflate the two. Resting in God is never passive. It is intentionally relinquishing control. Somebody needs to hear that tonight. Giving up is, I just don't care anymore. It doesn't matter. Surrender is, God is in control. I know that he is Lord, and I know that he is sovereign. Now, David only wakes up in this story, by the way, after he realizes that God has sustained him. And this shows us that God will always give us exactly what we need for the next season or moments of our lives. And he longs to give it to us. David went to sleep, and David then woke up. And often the world and its ways demand that we fix every problem comprehensively, conclusively. And I think God actually wants to walk slowly but surely through our problems to help us find victory. And for some of us here tonight, it might mean that you've just got to get through the next day or the next week. Take the next faithful step in your walk with God. Don't try and manufacture or manipulate an outcome, but allow your hope and your trust and your confidence to be renewed and refreshed in God each and every day. God distributed manna to Israel one day at a time. The Lord's Prayer teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. God will always give us what we need. He will not always give us what we want. It's about daily bread, daily encouragement, daily mercy, daily grace, daily renewal, daily strength, and daily joy. It's not about trying to calculate, if you like, how you think you will live for the next 3 to 5 years. Hey, God, just give me all of that today, and then I won't have any interaction with you for the next 5 years. Because David's peace produces courage. Look at verse 6. I am not afraid of tens of thousands of people who have set themselves up against me. This peace is now producing progression. That's what I'm seeing here. He's cultivating and crafting confidence and courage in who he is in God. Now remember, he starts in verse 1 by declaring, "Oh Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising up against me." 5 verses later, he's not bothered by that. That's progress. That's maturity. Now he's not afraid. The circumstances haven't changed. He's still surrounded, but fear no longer restricts or restrains him. Why? Because David has encountered and experienced the goodness of God in the middle of his test. And God wants to encounter you in the middle of your test tonight. Needing to let go of every outcome in our lives. You don't need to fix everything, control everything, calculate everything, or even know everything. Those are habits that are usually formed from past hurts and are very harmful to our spiritual health. Now, I know many people are like this. We're driven by fear, insecurities, and inadequacies that we camouflage and protect instead of having that wound washed by God and being made whole and being allowing him to grow and mature us. We must always be drawn by faith, allowing our hurts and our habits to be submitted and surrendered to a good and a gracious God. So what have we discovered tonight? We need to make God our shield. When disappointment surrounds you, God is still surrounding you. Stretch beyond your circumstances and declare, "You, O Lord, are a shield about me." We need to also let God lift our head. When disappointment brings you low, reject and resist the spirit of shame, fear, failure, and discouragement to become your permanent posture and position. Look to God. Let him lift your head. He is your glory. You are the one who lifts up my head. Number 3, we need to rest in God's presence. When disappointment disrupts your peace, stop attempting to control what God is in control of. Surrender it to him. Be faithful to what God calls you to. I lie down and sleep. I wake again, for the Lord sustains me. This psalm demonstrates that we need to be heartfelt, we need to be honest with God, that we do not need to perform or pretend. David is open and vulnerable about his pain, but he refuses to make that disappointment his end destination. His faith has been deepened and matured in the journey. And all of this points us in the direction of the greatest king, King Jesus. You see many parallels. David forced into the wilderness, fleeing from his own son, rejected by people. Jesus was rejected by his own people. You see David abandoning Jerusalem because of Absalom's rebellion. Well, Jesus went to Jerusalem knowing that he would be ridiculed and rejected. David has experienced humiliation and being brought low. Jesus willingly embraced humiliation on the cross of Calvary, dying naked in front of his own mother for you and for me. David trusted God to save him, and Jesus trusted the Father up to and through death, death on a cross. Now, death for Jesus on the cross of Calvary may have looked like defeat, but we know that Resurrection Sunday produced victory. And the same is true for us today. What might look like defeat is not the end of your story. In the same way, the Good Friday was not final. The grave was not final. Resurrection was on the horizon. The same is true for you. That you can rise above the defeat and the disappointment. The very God that David depended on is a perfect demonstration for us tonight. It's not over, despite what you might think, despite what you might believe, if you allow the Lord to lift your head. Amen. Amen. Amen.